What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maniash.
Start of another week. Well, if you do the Monday to Friday, but essentially Sunday to Sunday, whatever your week is, Tuesday to Tuesday, it doesn't matter. Start of another week for us.
It's Monday,
yes, Ryan. I know it's Monday. I know. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Maniash, thrilled to be joined by Tara Sloan in just a little bit. She's going to drop by. We'll talk San Jose. Her resume is so extensive and impressive, and we'll dive into some music talk with her in 77 seconds. So a whole bunch of stuff to get through with her, and good for her too to fit us in, because I know she's got to get to work after we're done. So we'll talk about that in just a bit, but let's begin, Vic. Again, lots going on. Who are we worried about? We're going to get into that too. I know it's almost in the first month of this NHL campaign. We'll talk Seattle, we'll talk Chicago, the Eastern Conference, the Devils, but we have to begin with the Utah Mammoth. They are having, you ready? A mammoth start to their season.
They certainly are. I can't argue.
Some you can argue with my delivery, but you... yeah, feel free.
Or the necessity of delivering the pun in the first place. Yes, but they are. They are having a mammoth season.
Yeah.
They are right now. They are top of the Western Division.
Crazy.
Who had that? I understand. And we're not going to get into just how it's early, because we are actually now 9 and 10 games.
Yep.
And that's not nothing.
Yep.
We're now talking a tenth of the season in. We're not talking 5 games. Of course, there's a long way to go. But how many have they won in a row now?
7.
This is incredible what they're accomplishing. And it's not just one guy. What I like seeing is Clayton Keller contributing. Of course, Dylan Gunther looks like an animal out there. Logan Cooley had a hat trick the other day.
Yep.
And my boy, Nick Schmaltz.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick Schmaltz, look at what you're doing right now, putting up the points, top of the tables in the NHL. The Utah has been completely impressive to start this.
Cooley's hat trick, if I'm not mistaken, was a natural one, and it came within like 5 minutes.
Yes, it was.
Or something like that,
yes.
Which is incredible.
It was like 4.5 minutes, Ryan. Yes. It was really quick.
So forget the 60-minute game thing. Let's just do this in less than 5. Let's get 3 in less than 5. You mentioned Dylan Gunther. 4 of the 5 goals that he's had are game-winning goals. And again, that I know it's, again, almost in the first full month. I totally get that. But that's a really neat thing. And I spoke to Cole Bagley on the weekend on the Hot Stove, and he covers the Mammoth. And he just went into all the things that he's been seeing with them and what a difference he sees. And again, yes, a start, like what, they're 8-2? An 8-2 start certainly means, oh, there's a bunch of differences from last season. But what he sees is the team is much more relaxed. He sees the competitiveness, and he could not stop talking about Clayton Keller. He's covered the game for a long time. He said that Clayton Keller is by far, out of anyone, like even McDavid, anyone he's ever seen, ever spoken to, the most competitive person that he has ever seen in the NHL. That to me is a huge compliment.
It is a huge compliment. And now with this young squad, it's almost like old man Keller, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's not.
Yeah.
He's in his later 20s, I believe. It's not. He's not even getting up there at all. But just one of those players who consistently has flown under the radar because Arizona doesn't get the same attention as if you're in LA or New York or Toronto, Montreal, right? Or even Edmonton. So just one of those guys just puts up the points every single season, generally very healthy.
Very healthy.
And now it's almost like he's getting rewarded not only with being placed in Utah with great ownership. Now there's permanence to this team.
Right.
But he's surrounded by so much talent as well. I also want to shout out the double Vs, the Vemelka and the Vanacek.
Sure.
All right. Between the pipes. Because that was the biggest question mark going into this season. Hey, we understand the skill and talent up front, all this youthful energy. Like you just mentioned, Ryan, Keller's fierce competitiveness, which seems to be spreading. It's contagious, that
it
type
is.
Of thing.
Of course it is.
Defense is solid. Even with Durzi hurt, the defense is solid. But how was the goaltending going to roll out?
Yeah.
And so far, Ryan, they've been good.
And they've only really had to be good, right? I'm not taking anything away from that. But because the team's been playing well, the Avalanche won the Cup not too long ago. And remember, Kiefer, I believe, was in goal. And he was good. He was decent, but because the team was playing so well, right? So good on them. It's a huge story.
You only have to be good enough.
Exactly.
That's all there is to it. You have to be good enough.
And you mentioned the stability of the franchise. I will say this till whatever, that is going such a long way in just the mental positivity with every person involved in that organization, knowing that we're good, we can exhale, we're not moving, we're fine, let's just try to win some hockey games. So Dylan DeMello said after the game against Winnipeg, yeah, they came in as advertised, and that's pretty good good praise.
That's a compliment.
Mammoth doing well. We see what's going right in Utah. A whole lot going right in Jersey with the Devils.
I mean, I did pick them to finish top of the Metropolitan, so I'm feeling pretty good about that prediction to start the season. But I didn't anticipate this. It's almost after the very beginning. Since then, they're steamrolling people.
Yeah.
Almost feels like if they're in a jam, they come from behind, or they just dominate from the start. And this is now what we're seeing when we said, treat us to a team with a fully healthy Jack Hughes, with a fully healthy Nico Hischier, and let's see what they can accomplish. And you have Jesper Bratt, who's never, ever gotten the attention he's deserved for scoring goals, and he's doing his thing, and everything else is working out, even with their number one netminder.
Yeah,
on the IR.
That's not
what I was expected at all. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when you just said, you know, here's what a healthy team can be with a healthy Jack Hughes and whatever, I'd say, yeah, this is a team with an unhealthy Jacob Markstrom, and this is how good this team can be. So credit to Jake Allen. And again, we go back to goaltending, and we just talked about Utah. Jake Allen's been good. The team's been great. So he's been good where he's had to be, and that's been fine. But he's filled in quite well. Those contract talks, who at some point they're going to get done with Markstrom and the Devils going forward. So we'll see what that looks like. But I'm with you with this. And you talked about as well, just kind of how they've been playing. And you know, I mean, I know Tampa's not been off to a good start, but they've beaten Edmonton pretty handily. They beat Minnesota. They beat Toronto. They beat San Jose. You're supposed to beat San Jose. The Avalanche struggling a bit. They beat Colorado in overtime last night. Then they have Colorado and San Jose this week. So they could have four more points by the time this month is done. And New Jersey just thriving right now in the
Metro. Lose the first game of the season and then you win eight straight, that's statement hockey.
Yeah,
that's, you're just convincing everybody that you are absolutely genuinely for real.
Yeah, you forget about that, right? They lost 6-3 to Carolina. Who knew? Who cares? It's about what you've done for me lately. Early logjam in that Eastern Conference, Vic, and I was actually looking at the Atlantic. We talked about this last week. So right now, hey, look at those Panthers. They're at 500. No team, really. I know Montreal's been playing well, and Detroit's still in there as well, 14, 12 points respectively. But no team's really kind of running away with this thing, and that means other clubs that are playing as well, like at Tampa, they finally get another win the other night, which was great, and then Toronto too. But if you look at that, Devils playing well, Pittsburgh and Carolina, they're separated by 1 point. You've got a 4-point swing in the Atlantic, and then you have a 3-point swing between Washington and the Islanders, a bunch of teams at 9 points. Yes, as you said, we're 9 games in for the most part with teams. It's not this early stuff anymore, but we're seeing this logjam now. We'll see some space at some point, but as of right now, it's pretty tight.
But it's fun right now,
sure,
because you have the Rangers in dead last and they're a point out of a wild card spot.
It's crazy.
So you can have, there's 8 teams right now that are obviously not in a playoff position, and every single one of them could be by Thursday.
Yep.
And then whoever is in a wild card spot could also drop out. It is just so very tight outside of New Jersey that we just talked about. I'm gonna pivot here a little bit. Are we not taking the Washington Capitals seriously enough again, because we were expecting them to take maybe a step back after perhaps overachieving last year, because they're playing some pretty good hockey?
No.
I know we don't have this on the lineup. Do you think we're giving them enough respect? Because sometimes I'm wondering if I do.
Here's the thing with Washington. When you put up the season that they did a year ago, 111 points, right? Which was phenomenal. They were second in the
league.
Yeah, to Winnipeg. The expectation is you have to go now at least 111 points, maybe even beyond that. I was giving them just as much credit this year going in as I did, and as you did. We gave them a ton of credit for what they did the season ago. They're quietly going about their business. I think if the Devils weren't playing as well, or if Carolina wasn't off to great start, I think maybe they would be getting more. But I think they're in a great spot. They're winning games. Yeah, they're going to be whatever. But this team is going to be fine. they may not get 111 points, but they're going to be fine by the time the 82nd games come. So I don't see any, I don't see any real drop off, to be honest with you. Some other teams are playing better right now, but I don't see a massive drop off.
I wonder if I have to get my head around it a little bit, because they are 6-3. That's a good start.
What's preventing you from getting the head around?
I had my mind set, maybe a little stubbornly in the summer, that they weren't going to repeat. It was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. Not completely, because a lot of good things, real genuine good things happened for the Capitals last year.
Yeah.
We've seen with different players who took that step forward.
Yes.
And but I still thought everything came together a little bit too seamlessly.
Yep.
So not full smoke and mirrors, but I was expecting them to take a step back, and they haven't really so far. Again, 6-3, perfect on the road. So maybe I do have to get my head around that. We talk about Jersey and Carolina all the time in the Metropolitan, and it almost seems like a lot of us, and I mean the huge we, not just you and I.
Yes.
I mean hockey media we. Yeah. I wonder if maybe we're doing them a bit of a disservice and a bit and showing them a bit of disrespect. So have to think about that.
You know, they get 2, 3, 4 more wins in the next, I don't know, let's say week and a half, 2 weeks, and they're going to be one of the top three seeds in that Metro. And it's all you always, and I think this is with any sport in general, at least in my mind, if you're in the top three in a division or top two in the division, you're going to get spoken of a lot more because you're in place one and place two. So the fact that they're in the first spot in the wild card, still, they're really good, a really good hockey team, a really good hockey team. In the West, logjam two, more points from some of the teams, but the Kraken, they're in a spot right now. You look at that Pacific division and you have Vegas and Seattle and then LA 1, 2, and 3. Again, no team's running away with that. The Vegas Golden Knights, right? It's deceiving. They've only one regulation loss, but they only have 13 points. And 13 points is fine, but they have the 3 in the OT category, right? So it's only one regulation loss, which is good. You surprised with Seattle's start? And what about the Chicago Blackhawks?
The Chicago Blackhawks are in a wild card spot. Yeah. And I don't know how many more times we're going to say that this year, because they could very easily not be in one.
Not very
But they're
many.
Playing.
Yeah.
But they're in the league, and we're going to talk to Tara Sloan about this, about the Sharks coming up. This is a team that is rebuilding, and there's some really good things that are happening. The Nazar kid is just, he's going to be a superstar.
He's
there's
awesome.
A lot of good things happening in Chicago.
Yeah.
You can see Bedard take that other step forward
physically
in his development.
He's not going to be pushed around anymore in good form. He's 5'9"? I think he's 5'9".
He's not a huge guy. No,
okay,
but he is.
Right.
He's stockier now. But even watching him play, he seems to even have that extra, and he was already great.
Yes.
This extra element of anticipation that you didn't quite see when he was developing in his first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. A lot of good things are happening for the Blackhawks. We don't expect them to be in the playoff dance when all is said and done, because there's so many other great teams in the West.
Too many.
It's going to be super, super tough, especially when you have a team like Utah that we just talked about
that's
already off to such a hot start. There's only so many spots. But right now, today, October, what is it? The 27th, the Chicago Blackhawks
are
in a wild card spot. And I love it for their fan base. They can enjoy this team playing competitive hockey. It's not the auto out anymore, Ryan, when you see a team playing Chicago. They can dance with everyone.
I agree.
It's awesome. It's awesome to watch.
I think one of the biggest things about Bedard is that all he knew before he came into the league, and I think this is in part with a lot of these young, talented number one picks, number two picks, number three picks, When all you know is winning at any level, and then you come into a team that you're not going
to
be winning for a little bit, and hopefully not long. Yeah, it's an adjustment. So maybe he's taking the mindset now of, okay, I'm not going to sit and pout, not saying he was, but I'm not going to be down. Let's just fire this thing up, and let's try to get to that point a lot faster. So maybe that's also part. Physically, he looks stronger, right? But maybe up here, things are clicking a little bit more with him, saying, okay, yes, we're in a rebuild, but I'm going to be part of this thing. So let's make this a really important part of my life to get this team to be competitive before I leave, if ever I leave. But hopefully that'll be on his resume at some point down the road. Resume right now on Quinn Hughes's list is the Canucks, Vic, or without Hughes. So you wanted to mention a bit of that. And also, too, we can talk a bit about Vancouver.
He's listed as day-to-day, so it's not something where you're going to, if you're a Canucks fan, you're going to go full panic mode with.
No.
But, and you and I had talked about this.
And we should mention a lower body injury, just in case no one knows.
It's a lower body injury. You and I have talked off the air. He hasn't looked his best self to start the season. And Quinn Hughes, not at his best self, is still better than most of the league at their best selves.
Sure.
But he just, it's the numbers aren't there. His production is totally uncharacteristic to start the season. Mm-hmm. But even just watching him, and I have to admit, I haven't watched a ton of Vancouver so far, but the bits that I have seen, he hasn't just has that explosiveness. So I'm wondering if this is something that's maybe bugged him.
It's been lingering.
And by the way, we should say we have no insight here. We're just supposing. Mm-hmm. We're just two people chatting. But it's, I'm wondering if maybe this is something.
It makes sense. Right? It makes sense.
And then branching out, Vancouver's not in a playoff spot, but just like the logjam in the East, there is one in the West as well. Not quite as jammy, but it's close. They're just a point out of a wild card spot. It's hardly a write-off season. We've seen a little bit more, particularly from Brock Besser, in a hell of a game last night, actually, against the Oilers. But are we seeing the same story unfold again of this Vancouver team not being as good as theirs?
Okay. 100%.
And it can't be just Pedersen.
No,
either.
It's not.
I know we're always piling on him, and sometimes deservedly, but it can't be just him.
Listen, it doesn't matter how good you are. One player does not win a team sport. It doesn't. He won't. Now, good for him. He's had 3 goals in the last 4 games, which is great because he couldn't get anything.
But he's shooting the puck on net now. I mean, thank goodness.
Yeah, and he's the ice time is up a bit too. Actually, I'm looking at some of the numbers too in the ice time for him. Against Nashville 3 games ago, it was almost 21. Then it was almost 22, and then it was almost 21. Before that, it was 17 and 18. So 2, 3, 4 extra minutes of ice time a night. And to your point about shooting the puck, that gives you 2 extra 3 minutes of trying to shoot the puck. So no, I'm with you. I just don't think what we see with Vancouver now is, I think, what we're going to see for the rest of the season. That's unfortunate.
When Connor Garland is visibly your best player some nights, Connor Garland's a good hockey player, but he shouldn't be your superstar some nights.
No, he shouldn't
be. He's your best player, and he's the one who's giving it all, and you can notice it. I think that's concerning.
Who are we worried about the most right now? Again, most teams 9, some teams 10, some teams 8, but we're basically between 8 and 10 games.
What's wrong with the Minnesota Wild?
That's a great question.
It's not. It's less the record. They have a losing record right now.
3-5-2.
Third from the bottom. Yeah. The third from the bottom in the West. That concerns me less than the fact that this is supposed to be one of the better defensive teams in the league.
Giving up 39.
Minus 11.
Yeah, I know.
Ryan. Yeah. That's not good when you're 9 games in. Minus 11? So not only are they not putting the puck in the net often enough, but they're hemorrhaging goals.
Yep. They've given up the second most goals, 39. Only San Jose has given up more at 42. And you'd expect
the Wild.
Yeah, you'd
expect
exactly. Yeah, you'd expect that San Jose would give up a lot of goals. So this to me is it's okay because I don't see if I'm looking at the standings again. Too early to talk about standings. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Minnesota right now in 7th, right? You got Anaheim in front of them. You have Nashville in front of them. You have to make a. This is going to sort itself out, and I do have full confidence in Minnesota, much more so than in Vancouver. And Minnesota will sort itself out. Maybe they're just going through some things, but these points, though, that they're slipping away, especially if it gets a logjam by the time they hit the 75th game, you look back to some of the ones that you missed in October, thinking, "Man, really? We gave up this many? Could have had a couple more points, and then we wouldn't be as stressed out trying to make it in to the postseason." So,
who are you worried about? I've got the Wild. Who are you worried about?
I wanted to say Calgary,
but we didn't really have high expectations of Calgary.
And that's why I changed it. And I'm trying not to focus in too much on the whole Toronto train, but I will say this. The only thing I'm going to say about this is this. This to me is a team, they're not playing as well because they don't have Mitch Marner. They're not playing as well because they're trying to figure each other out. And I know for a fact that when Scott Laughton went down to injury, and I don't think this was the right move by Craig Berube, and I don't think any head coach should do this. I'm not a coach, but I'm just saying this, is that he changed up not just one line, the lot. He changed up everything. And when you spend weeks training with the same players, and then now you have to change that and try to adapt on the fly during a season where 2 points are on the line, I think that's tough. So I think that that's a big reason why. I would have thought they would have had a few more wins, to be honest with you right now. So, and even Tampa too, they only have 3-9. So some of those Eastern teams, I know the Panthers are hurt, but maybe Toronto and Tampa to me are a little bit surprising, a bit slow out of the
game. A friend of mine was in the press box at Scotiabank the other day for a Leafs loss.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to watch the game. I think I was sunk into baseball. And why, I texted playing? Him and said, and I texted because I wanted somebody else's perspective who can actually get the bird's eye view. And I said, what's wrong with the Maple Leafs? And he wrote back, no scoring pop.
Yeah.
So that to me is, you can't replace a Mitch Marner. And I'm going to say this until the cows come home. You can't replace a Mitch Marner with a Michelli or a Nick Waugh. You can't. They need, Treliving has to be on the phone, Ryan, every damn day.
He does.
Trying to pick somebody up who's not, you're not going to get a replacement for Mitch Marner. It's 102 points. Yep. Like that, they don't grow on trees, those swingers. But you need somebody who's going to put the puck in the net and who's going to create plays as well in that top six, because they need one. I think the rest of it will be fine over time.
Yeah.
But they need that flash and dash that they lost in the offseason. They need something back.
Last one, Tara Sloan will join us in just a bit too. We'll talk San Jose and go 77 seconds in with her. So tomorrow I'm going to say these times all Eastern, 6, 6, 6.30, 6.45, 7, 7.15, 7.45, 8, 8.15, 8.30, 8.45, 9, 9.30, 10, 10.30, 11. Here we go. Frozen Frenzy on
it.
Tuesday. Me too.
I love it. So all 32 teams are playing, obviously. Yeah. So 16 games on the NHL slate. Staggered as much as they possibly could.
As much as they could, yeah.
Obviously, as much as they could.
Yeah.
The first time they did this, I just thought it was like gimmicky and a bit silly.
Did you?
And
okay.
Why do we
interesting.
Have to? No. I was wrong. And then when I participated in it and watched it and really got into it, the fact that it was one game after the other, after the other, after the other, and everybody's playing, all the kids in the pool, whatever.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I went back on the air, so I got that one wrong. That was a hoot and a holler. I really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to it again tomorrow night. I will say the one damper, and this is not the NHL's fault by any extent of the imagination, is there's a World Series on right now.
Yeah,
and I wish it was on the night that there was the off day of the World Series, but you can't plan for those things. So at Casa Matty Ash Wilson, we're going to have several screens streaming around the basement to make sure we don't miss. Well, we're not going to watch all 16 games, but to catch as many bits of as many of them as possible. But it is a really fun night.
You could technically have, and I'm doing the math, you got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. And I'm sure this is probably maybe somewhat of a normal thing on a Saturday, Tuesday, or Thursday, because it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday to lead the NHL. It always has been. But you could have all of those 9 games going on at once, because if you take the 8 p.m. Eastern start time with the Jets and the Wild.
Oh, like with all the overlap.
Yeah. And then you would take the 11 o'clock, you know, 3 hours, say the game goes to overtime, the Jets and Wilds. So then you could have maybe all those games going on at the exact same time. I think a bit earlier, maybe not, but still, it's a hockey fan's dream. It really is. And tomorrow night on Tuesday, it's going to be a frozen frenzy. Oh, those World Series schedulers. We'll be watching. Tara Sloan is next. We'll dive into the San Jose Sharks, talk a bit about, too, her off the ice, if you will. She has so many things that she's done, and we'll go 77 seconds.
She's done
seconds.
Everything, and she's done all of it very well.
I was going to say, she's done it very well. She's one of the best, one of the pros, and one of the nicest people. She'll drop by next. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
This is a fantastic way to kick things off this week on Pucks and Seven when it comes to guests. It's always great to kick things off on Monday with Victoria, my co-host. But we have a great guest today. Her resume speaks for itself. Tara Sloan joining us here on the program. I can go on and on and on for about 15 minutes running through the whole list of things. But you said you're a little bit, hey, we're going to just kind of get the coffee in this morning, so let's go. Host contributor, San Jose Sharks, NBCS Sharks, and of course, SiriusXM Canada. Really appreciate the time. How are you?
We also have to mention, sorry, Tara, also a rock star, okay?
Yes.
An actor and a rock star.
Yeah.
Morning show host out in Calgary. So, but we could use the whole 15 minutes just introducing you. So, but also, and I will testify, knowing you personally, a fantastic human being. So we're very, very happy to have you on this morning.
Well, that's the most important part, I think.
absolutely.
At least, yes, that's, you know, on my deathbed, that's what I'll care about. And thank you. Yes, it's really nice to be here. And I have lived a few lives, you know, As one does.
You have, and that's good. We're going to get into hockey and the Sharks and a bunch of other stuff too, 77 seconds in with you. But I wanted just to quickly kind of on piggyback on what Victoria said about music and different things like that. That's been a huge part of your life for a long time. And you posted this month, you said that you had an absolute dream, a dream come true, when you hosted the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame Legends Gala in Toronto. Just kind of take us into that, because I know you've done a lot of really neat things in your life, but for you to put that out there, like this is a dream come true, can you take us into that whole night for you?
I think, you know, for me, I mean, music is my first love, my passion. I grew up listening to a lot of music. I sang classical music. I worked in a record store all through high school. Kids, get yourself to a record store.
Right.
And so, you know, it just was a huge part of me. And so, you know, getting my start with the band Joy Drop and then moving into broadcasting, it just, this Songwriters Hall of Fame just felt like the ultimate culmination of you know, all of it. It was this full circle moment. And, you know, these artists who were inducted, it was Gene Siberry, Andy Kim, Ian Thomas, Triumph, and who am I missing? Oh gosh, I'm missing somebody. Somebody important. I'm missing somebody really important.
We'll get to it later.
Oh, Gino Vannelli. Actually, he's so important because he was like my mom's absolute favorite. You know, I grew up listening to all of these artists, and it just, I don't even think I could have conceived of this happening. Yeah. And it was just so lovely. And songwriters are so, I don't know. I mean, musicians are collaborative people. Mm-hmm. It was a lovely room to be in. And it was a dream.
That's amazing.
All downhill from here.
No.
Not at all.
Pinch yourself moment. Okay, let's get into hockey. So let's look at San Jose. From last I checked, the head coach still has all of his kids, so that's a good thing, right? Because they have been putting some wins together. They are a very talented club. First impressions of this team going into 25-26?
Well, you know, my first impressions are not, they don't really hold true. I mean, I was there at the beginning of the season. I'll be back down there this week to do a few games. It was a very frustrating start to the season. You know, they dropped two games right off the top that they should have won. They had, they were leading constantly, and then they did what Sharks do. And that was, you know, just allow goals within the first like 60 seconds after they score and just lose in overtime. I mean, just these things that we have seen over and over again over the last couple of years that we're just like, no. And we knew that, you know, I saw Coach Ryan Warsawski's face after the first game. He, you know, he had a smile. Second game, no smile.
Right.
Third game, like mad.
Yeah.
And so this was a very frustrated club. But, you know, it's frustrating not because they're bad. It's frustrating because you know that they have some of the components that can get them some wins. They just got to figure it out. And so finally on this road trip, you know, they kind of, everything broke wide open with an overtime win against the Rangers. And then last night, I don't know if you guys were watching, it probably wasn't available in most markets, but, it was a phenomenal victory in overtime over the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. So, Macklin Celebrini is as advertised. We all knew that, but he is demonstrating that he really
love him.
Can be the generational player that he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's starting to shape up that way for sure. And watched, I mean, I think he has 16 points already in 9 games or something like that.
He has 15.
Is it 15?
I mean, he's second in the league in scoring. I mean, that's...
Who would have thought that?
Yeah. What I like it too is the relationship he's forming with Will Smith right now, because now you're looking at a forward duo. They are so cute, and we're allowed to say that.
Because they're like my, I mean, they're not that different in age from my child.
Right.
And, you know, and I walk in and you know, like they're always together.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. They're definitely like peas in a pod, and they're, you know, you see them be kids sometimes too, right? Like on the ice, they're not kids. But when you see them warming up for a game and playing soccer or football and almost taking somebody's head off, like it's their kids. They're funny and they're fun. Yeah. So it's
another
good,
kid.
It's a good room.
another kid coming up right now who just scored his first goal, Michael Misa.
Yeah, really happy for him.
It's unfair to put it this way, to rank what type of star is he going to be, but why are people really excited? I know he scored galore with Saginaw, but now this is the big leagues and he got his first one. What's the expectation from him as a player?
You know, it's always this question of how long are they going to keep him up there? Is this going to be the best place for him to sharpen his skills, or will he be better served, you know, going back to junior? He's centering a line. Like, this is not small fry for an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
He has not been a healthy scratch since he got into the lineup, and he's earning his spot there, and he finally was rewarded with his first NHL goal. So we'll see. I hope he stays. You know, I think this is a really exciting young core, particularly in what we don't have a young core on the Sharks, particularly when it comes to defensemen, although there's a lot up and coming. But, this is a really fun group to watch, and they're able to generate offense. They're just the defensive end has a little more work to do.
Things, just going back to what you guys learned about Misa, things have changed. Years ago when we would watch hockey, this is years ago, I think we're all kind of in the same vintage, I want to say that.
But
years ago we would watch, and a young kid would come up, and they wouldn't get a sniff in the first year at all. If they did, they would maybe play a couple games, go in the press box. Then the discussion was, well, is that the best for this individual sitting up in the box, wanting to get out but not getting that time and the experience? I think the way the kids nowadays, it's a little bit different. The team around them, not just the team they're playing for, but different groups of people in their family. Where are you with putting someone in? Again, the talent level is through the roof with these 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Where are you with putting somebody in maybe a little bit too soon? Are you on the mindset of, let's give them some chances, let them work this thing out, or after a couple, do you pull them back and maybe have some issues with that?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. I think that, with a team like the Sharks, you don't want to sink somebody's spirits when they first get into the league by being on a team that's losing consistently. I think that does not help. I think there's a lot to be said for learning how to win. And I don't think, I don't think necessarily keeping somebody on a losing squad is the way to go and is the way to best do that. That being said, we're not there right now. Like it was a rough little start, but there's some real promise emerging. So, they hold their cards close to their chest. We will, of course, be asking, how long we can see Sam Dickinson up, how long we can see Michael Meese up. Nobody will tell us.
No.
But I see the value in them being there right now, particularly with how young this group is.
Mm-hmm. I think it does depend on the individual too. We see somebody like Michael Schaefer in Long Island right now. And I, if you asked me when he was 17 in the summer, if it was a good idea to bring him up with not a powerhouse team either in Long Island.
Right.
And he is proving me completely wrong.
He's the real deal. He's the real
ready.
Deal.
So I don't know. I don't know anything about anything, at least in this particular case. Let's move away from the Sharks a little bit. Looking at the West in general, positively or negatively, who's surprising you to start this season from either the Pacific or the Central in any which way?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm not paying attention to that much other than the Sharks.
Maybe from around the whole league then, is there a team that maybe has disappointed even in from the East else?
I think, I live in Toronto. The alarm bells are sounding.
I knew you
sounding.
Were going with that, yeah.
Yeah, and people are, people are constantly, quick to jump on any which way. So, I don't know if it's time to pull the chute. I think they are not getting the start they want. you know, not because I grew up a Montreal Canadiens fan, but that's kind of, this is fun.
So fun to watch. You know what?
This is fun.
They, to me, they're one of the most exciting teams to watch. Even when they lose, they're one of the most exciting teams. And I saw, and Vic and I talked about this last week, there was a clip, I think recently, last week, maybe the week before, it was before a 3-on-3, and I forget who Montreal was playing, but they won the game. And Martin Saint-Louis was on the bench, and he was talking to Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, and Lane Hudson on the ice. But it was really the three of them talking to Martin Saint-Louis. And Saint-Louis barely said a word. And I thought, you know what? That is so different. That is respect from not just the player to the coach, but the coach to the player saying, what do you guys think? You're pretty good. You're better than I am right now. I'd love to play. And he probably could still play. But I just think the way that Montreal is going on your point about Montreal, they're just really in a good spot, I think, Tara.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they've made all the right moves, but I think you get that feeling. You know, I think Marty Saint-Louis is, I remember when he was hired and people were like, meh, 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 only ever coach Pee-wee or whatever he coached. you know, it's like, why are you doubting this guy, right? Like, give him his shot. And I think that relationship with the players is so strong. And that trust that they've established. Yeah. And then obviously, you know, the roster moves that they've made, the acquisitions, no Dobson, like just smart, smart stuff, smart moves that will keep them, you know, building for years to come. So I shouldn't talk so much about them.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I got one of the greats behind me. He's listening. I'm telling you. Yeah. He's happy right now. Yeah, he's happy right now.
We veer a little bit too much Leafs at some point. So it's nice to get like a breath of fresh air also. They're top of the Atlantic right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that can't be ignored. It's still something that has to be acknowledged. So they deserve the attention of the conversation. The Martin Saint-Louis fit in Montreal reminds me very much of the Brind'Amour fit in Carolina. It's just this different type of relationship. Instead of having the old school Scotty Bowman types, there's bark, 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 bark. It's just different. And I'm not saying one is worse and one is wrong and one is right, but it's different. And I think it can suit some certain players. So
I think so too.
NHL league in general, this is a huge open-ended question. Take it however you want. Culture-wise, anything-wise, rules-wise, what is something you would change? And I know that's huge.
Culture-wise?
Yeah.
You're asking me
what
I would change culture-wise?
I absolutely am.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, it's no surprise to anybody who follows me and my work and my mouth that. Listen, I'll preface the whole thing by saying I have seen the best parts of hockey and working in with the Sharks, a great organization, being in the locker room. It's been a great joy of my life and feeling part of that, you know, the teamwork that makes the whole thing go. And doing hometown hockey, I saw really the like how community is pulled together. But when things keep happening, like these kids who were exonerated in the Hockey Canada case, and to see them allowed back in the league is one of the most disappointing things. You know, it's sort of disappointment upon disappointment when it comes to ignoring things like domestic abuse and sexual assault. So that's, you know, no surprise. I think we're going to see some of these kids back on the ice. It'll be interesting to see how crowds handle it. Mm-hmm. So that I would say that's the thing I would change is like, I don't even think there's a domestic assault, like standard set or any kind of like, I think that in other leagues in baseball and football, there are, what do you call them? Like there's definitely
a set of protocols.
I don't think the NHL.
They don't have anything written in stone. We've just heard this weekend about the Mitch Love case. So he was he got the boot from Washington.
Right, but it so seems arbitrary, this, right?
I know, it does. It seems incredibly individual and arbitrary and very non-transparent. And I think that's what drives us all a little crazy. The fact he was suspended at the beginning of the season and people were wondering why. And now here's just this very simple statement. He's gone. Okay, where are we with the investigation? Where are we? Are there criminal proceedings in play? Like, what else is happening here? It's very frustrating. And the fact the league often keeps us, and we're getting better, but often keeps us on a need-to-know basis drives me up the effing wall. It makes me crazy. But I think we are moving in the right direction.
I hope so. But I think I understand the pressure from the NHLPA when it came to the Hockey Canada players.
They have to protect their players. That's their mandate.
I understand. Yeah. But it's disappointing to see, you know, because we know that there were teams that were not going to be willing to pick some of these players up. And then we know that there are, as the Vegas Golden Knights have. So that's disappointing. But I'll say even a league with a protocol like the NFL, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Because these players are back in the lineup. So, you know, not to put them on some kind of pedestal.
I'm always hoping that we're taking two steps forward when we take a step back, and then two steps forward and then take a step back. And people need to realize it's a privilege to play in the NHL. It's not a right. Mm-hmm. This is not a legal matter. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And I have to adhere to my behavior stuff with Bell, with CTV, with Sirius, with ESPN. I have to behave and comport myself a certain way, and they can let me go as well. And that doesn't seem to be seen as the same thing, which it is.
Are we really that short on NHL caliber goaltenders that Carter Hart's the only one who can?
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's not possible.
That's a good discussion to have. Certainly, it puts a lot of emphasis on everything. Last one before we get to 77 seconds, the McDavid contract, when he signed the extension, 2 years, 12.5 AAV, your first thoughts on that?
It made a lot of sense. Hmm. They got to win or he's out, you know, and I think that gives them just enough time to figure it out or not. I kind of think or not, but that's just my...
Really? That's so interesting to think about, and I feel so bad for Edmonton if that's the direction.
I think it's a mistake he signed. I think it is. I think he should have waited. I really do. I think he should have played out this season. Yeah.
Just the one thing.
I don't know. I think this 2 years. I mean, he's going to knock on wood. He's going to play for a long time. But
right.
And I hope they get it done. It's been so painful to watch them get to the bitter end. Mm-hmm. So they are certainly as deserving as a team, and you know, those are guys you want to see raise the cup. But I mean, I wasn't surprised he didn't sign for longer. I mean, I don't know what anybody would have been.
No. I think that's changing too. Okay, 77 seconds in. This is when we go with our guest and we talk sports, we talk non-sports. And then again, there's no timer on this whatsoever. So here we go.
It's supposed to be rapid fire and spirit, and we never execute it properly. So just...
It never is.
I mean, we're in our third year of not doing this right. So we might as well just have fun with it.
Yeah, literally we had someone go, I think, 777 seconds at some point. So I'm like, whatever, no clock. Okay, here we go. Back to hometown hockey. Favorite, I know this is probably a tough answer. Well, maybe it's easy. I don't know. Favorite hometown hockey place that you have been to?
No. Okay, one of several. Okay.
I always talk about our First Nations stops. Okay. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of, relationships with First Nations and Indigenous communities across the country, but we are hosted by two First Nations on the nation themselves. So we were in Enoch Cree Nation just near Edmonton and Pegwas First Nation in Manitoba. So I would say that those really were the most heartfelt, rewarding, and educational for all
of
us.
I bet.
Yeah.
You're most, because you have talked to lots of people outside of sports, your most interesting, or one of them, we're not going to make it any ultimate, non-sports interview.
Oh my gosh.
Or discussion.
Oh gosh, there's so many. I mean, some of my most rewarding interviews have been with people that nobody's ever heard about. Mm-hmm. Because for me, and I'm sorry, I have a total frog in my throat.
Oh no, you sound great.
You sound great.
For me, it's always about, you know, kind of creating that space, you know, where somebody feels good and safe. Top of mind, you know, one of my two very early interviews. I interviewed Katie Lang really wildly. Mm-hmm. And I was so intimidated.
I would be.
And it was wonderful. And we talked for a really long time. I had the same thing with Sinead O'Connor, actually.
Amazing.
Really scared.
Boy. Amazing.
And she was just lovely. And Jane Goodall. That was probably my first few months at Breakfast Television in Calgary.
Wow.
But I mean, gosh, I've been so blessed.
Yeah.
We had Norm Macdonald on Breakfast Television in Calgary. We had the Wayans brothers. Like, it was really fun. And lots of, you know, props to comics who do interviews at 7 a.m. because that's not their time slot.
I love how you said you want to make it comfortable for the guest. You want to, mm-hmm. that to me is so key. You can be whatever you want, but if you make it comfortable for that person you're talking to, hopefully we're making it comfortable for you. You can answer
you
after
are.
You're done. Okay, we'll see. let's move on. Who's a hoot to talk to in the NHL that you've experienced?
Oh, who's a hoot?
Yeah.
Yaroslav Askarov. I'm going to go with
Aski. Oh, is he?
Okay.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise that their goaltenders are right. fun and funny. But yes, Askarov is absolutely, he's really funny.
And that's neat that he's just starting his trajectory in the NHL and he could be with the Sharks and become a dominant force, especially if they do figure out what to do defensively a little bit better, which they're going to over time. Straightforward, who wins the Stanley Cup this year? We won't hold you to it.
I do think Carolina is going to be tough.
Oh,
too.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. Off to a good start. Coolest musician with whom you've ever worked?
Ooh, coolest musician.
Yeah, outside of yourself, coolest musician.
No, I'm not the coolest musician. worked like in what capacity? Like music wise?
Anyway.
Yes,
music wise.
Collaboration, yeah, anything.
Oh my God. So many. Listen, my Joy Drop family, my mm-hmm. boys, Tony and Tom, mm-hmm. I mean, they're lifelong friends. I did an album with a guy named Jordan Zadorozny, who he has a band called Blinker the Star, and we co-wrote and produced an album. I'm going to say him, but like, okay. You know, of course I've met people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've sung with the Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. I did backing
That's
vocals
neat.
For Tom Cochran.
Your list
That's
is
like
long.
Cool.
Your list is long. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some neat stuff.
Archie the dog's most charming characteristic.
The way, well, he's right here. the way that he, I mean, he's only two, but like every time he plops himself down, there's like an old man. Like,
oh, amazing. And he's only two.
I like that.
And he's only two.
He's only two.
Oh, he's going to be groaning and grunting in a few years for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw him very closely on Instagram. He brings me joy. I like to see the pictures.
He's funny.
He is funny.
Last one, Tara. Favorite NXS song?
Ooh, boy. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, for sure, it was Never Tear Us Apart. I mm-hmm. think that was like, yeah. and that mm-hmm. still tugs at the heartstrings.
Sure.
And then learning most, a big chunk of their catalog when
of
I
course.
Did the show 20 mm-hmm. years ago. I grew to really love Mystify, which is a show I actually got to perform.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll go with Never Tear Us Apart. I mean, that's just, it's a classic.
It is.
I can still listen and I will pull up Kick. Just randomly and just play it in the car, and it's so fresh sounding still. It's just one of those albums, there's no duds. It's to this day, it's anyway, there we have her,
Tara.
By
thank
the way
you.
We're doing Rockstar NXS reunion shows, one in Niagara Falls and one in Richmond Hill in November.
Okay,
in Richmond Hill, you are participating in that for sure.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the one in Richmond Hill because it is at the end of November, right?
November 22nd.
Fantastic. Where can people get tickets to that?
Go to the Richmond, Richmond Hill Center for the Performing Arts.
Perfect. Their website. Excellent.
Adding to the list of your resume. Yeah. Tara, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Absolute blast doing this. So we look forward to doing it again.
For me too. Thanks, guys.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.